The Pat Kenny Show on News Talk
with Matter Private Network. During current restrictions, don't ignore your health concerns. Our expert team is ready to help.
We're joined by the Minister, Pascal Donoghue. Minister, the British-Irish Intergovernmental Conference today, the G7 Leaders Summit, so much focus on the protocol. Given everything that's gone on, given everything that's happened, are you confident all these issues can be resolved?
I am. The disruptive event, the issue that has caused such difficulty in relation to the flows of trade in and out of Northern Ireland, is Brexit, not the protocol. The purpose of the protocol is to manage the consequences of Brexit in a way that ensures that all of us can protect the Northern Ireland peace process, and that also our membership of the single market here in Ireland is unaffected. Of course, we recognise the democratic mandate and the right of the British people to decide what they want to do. Of course, we recognise that, but it has massive consequences for Ireland, and the protocol is the best and safest way of managing them.
Is it really difficult doing business with Britain at the moment? I mean, they signed up to a deal 6 months ago. Is this unprecedented as far as you're concerned?
Look, we have had a difficult few years dealing with Brexit, to put it mildly. The British government, I think, have been confronted with lots of challenges themselves as they seek to interpret the Brexit result and then execute it and get support from their parliament. And of course, that has clearly posed challenges for us here in Ireland. But I do believe we will find an agreement on the matter. And I do believe the British government is committed to trying to come up with a new, stable and positive relationship between the European Union and the United Kingdom. And I do think we'll get there.
The evidence suggests otherwise, Minister. I have to put it to you. The evidence suggests that they're not remotely interested in having a stable working relationship. They're kind of making it up as they go along and changing the rules as they go along.
Well, they did, in the end, ratify the protocol. It was accepted in the House of Commons as part of the exit arrangements for Brexit.
And then sought to welch on it 6 months later.
Which is why it's all the more important that the Irish government and our allies in the European Union stand very firm on the protocol. And we are. And while acknowledging the ups and downs and the unpredictability of what has happened in the UK, I think we should also acknowledge the calmness and stability and depth of the support that Ireland has received from the European Union, and the calm, stable and very persistent way in which this and the last government since 2016 have followed our national interest.
How significant has the intervention of the US government and behind the scenes and Joe Biden's intervention, particularly it would seem that pretty extraordinary rebuke that his security advisor or his representative in the UK gave to the Brexit minister.
America has always been a vital stakeholder in Northern Ireland, and clearly the relationship between America and the United Kingdom is very important to both. So that is why the support of President Biden for our efforts, his support for the Northern Ireland peace process and for our country is so important. So it is a significant moment, and it is to be welcomed that both President Biden and Prime Minister Johnson did emerge from the meeting they had, I believe, yesterday, recommitting to finding a way through the current challenges. But the support of America is always very important on these matters.
Is there flexibility as far as the Irish government is concerned in relation to the protocol?
Within the protocol, there are instructions and options that are there. For example, we've already said there are arrangements in relation to the movement of animals, of agricultural produce that could be put in place in a way that would be consistent with the protocol and would also significantly reduce checks that need to take place. So yes, of course, there is room for compromise and flexibility, but it is inside the structure of the protocol, and we certainly can't renegotiate the protocol itself.
Okay. Two quick things before I let you go, Minister. You're a proud member of the Fine Gael party. You're a party that puts great stock in your probity, how you stand by the state. When you hear stories and read stories about fictitious polling companies, fake business cards, are you embarrassed as a Fine Gael, a proud Fine Gael member when you hear that kind of thing?
So I am very proud to represent my party, and I ask for the support for my efforts from the people of Dublin Central at each election. What our party has said is that this did happen in a very sporadic basis up to 2016. We accept now it should not have happened, and it certainly hasn't happened since then.
It's pretty unseemly though, isn't it?
Which is why we accept it wasn't appropriate. It doesn't meet the standards that we would want to meet now. We do accept that. We've acknowledged that earlier on in the week. And those kind of practices have been discontinued now for a number of years.
Final question. The interesting story in the Irish Times today about Facebook and their decision to allow staff work from abroad. The company saying it won't alter their tax status in Ireland. But I'm curious, is it something that concerns you? Potentially, is it something that other people might see as altering the tax status of international companies based here if a lot of their workforce isn't actually living in Ireland?
So the rules are really clear from a tax residency point of view for an individual, for a worker. You have to be resident here in Ireland for 183 days in a tax year or 280 days across 2 years. The rules are crystal clear. For those who want to declare themselves to be taxable here in Ireland, they have to meet those residency rules. Of course, I would be concerned at any behaviour that changed tax residency here in Ireland. But in fairness to the company themselves, they have come out and said that they do expect the tax residency of the workers not to change. Mm. And
is there a corporation tax issue, though, I suppose, is my question.
Well, so we have, again, very clear rules in relation to corporation tax. We have a test in place called the Central Management and Control Test. And Shane, I'm not going to go through the detail of all of that at just after 8 o'clock this morning, but the rules are very clear. Of course, I would be concerned if we ended up in a situation where it could be perceived in any way that a company might be in breach of that. But again, companies are really aware of the requirements they have to meet in order to meet that control test. It is checked by the Revenue Commissioner themselves, and I would be very confident that all companies who go through this test, which is done on a self-declaration basis, are really aware of their obligations and won't breach them.
I get the impression it's something you're going to be keeping an eye on, though.
I don't think it's just me. I think it's going to be many finance ministers all over the world, Shane, and I would anticipate this will be an area in which there'll be more work and more cooperation done. Because I think one of the consequences of the pandemic is there's going to be, I think, a lot more mobility of workers across national borders. And every finance minister, including myself, will want to ensure that our rules are clear, which I believe they are. We'll also want to ensure they're implemented, which the Revenue Commissioner will do. But we also want to make sure they are, also reflect the need for clarity if people's work practices do begin to change as we beat the pandemic.
Okay, we'll leave it there. Finance Minister and President of the Eurogroup, Pascal Donohue, thank you for talking to News Talk Breakfast.